Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way tonight. If you have opened this message from a digital source, we want to remind you we are on a live teleconference meeting. That means people will be calling in from all over the place. We'll give them an opportunity to get here. So we won't actually start our message for about 3 to 5 minutes. So you've got time to get a cup of coffee and relax. Praise the Lord. And anytime, digital listeners, anytime you'd like to join us live on our conferences, they're held every Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial on your telephone 605-475-2090. And enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. Again, you can get information about our ministry from freedomswayministries.com. And welcome. If you would like to say hello, now is a good time to do that.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, stranger. I've been thinking about you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Annette. I need thinking about.
Yeah. A little bit of praying, too. You know what I mean?
That's a good thing. Yes. We need that prayer cover.
Amen. Yep. Pictures of the world.
Hello, hello, yes. Miss Vicky. Hey, Miss Annette. Hey, I made it in there too, Miss Vicky. I'm up here at Longwood, Florida, back in a long trailer in right now. Thank you. Thank you guys for everything you do for us, yeah.
God bless you.
Give him all the praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
My wife had a good report today too, then. Hey, there goes Choo Choo Train. I'm about 5 foot, about maybe 10 foot from it. It just shot by in front of me here. Boom. Oh, pretty cool. Neato. But Miss Annette got a good report today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All righty. I'll mute out. I'm trying to back in.
Amen. We like good reports.
Amen. Yeah, I just had that another mammogram, but they do one with the dye that they inject into you. They had too much tissue storage and stuff. They couldn't really see a clear picture, so they did that. But when they did that, everything was totally clear, not a nothing.
Amen.
So,
hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, because they can check you for like 2 years just to make sure.
So,
back to normal.
Amen. Who else wants to say hello?
Hello, Vicki, and everybody else. It's Helen.
Hi, Helen. Hi, Charles.
Hi,
Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen. Welcome.
Larry.
God bless you. I've been thinking about you, brother. I sent a Christmas letter to you, and it came back. So when you think about it, text me your new address.
What is your phone number? you might want to text me your phone.
It's 904-993-2876. 904-993-2876.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Who else wants to say hello? Okay, well, praise God. We want to go ahead and get started tonight. We want to make sure we have enough time to get through everything and get you out of here at a decent hour to go to bed or whatever you want to do the rest of the evening. Anybody else want to say hello before I mute your telephones? Okay, for those who might be new on the line, When I mute your phones, that doesn't mean that you won't be able to hear us. It means that we will not be able to hear you. So if there's any noise going on in your background, in your home or wherever you happen to be, it's not going to interfere, and everyone will have a clear line. After our message tonight, we'll unmute your phone so that, or we'll tell you how to do it, so that you can make a comment or ask a question. So hold on just 1 minute, and we'll get started.
Well, good evening and welcome. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I am here with my wife, Vicki. And our mission is to help you come into your true, full identity in Christ, enjoy all the benefits of authority in the kingdom of God. So anything we can do in that area, we are happy to help. And you can call us or actually listening to these messages on Mondays and Friday nights can be a big step forward for you to grow in your true identity in Christ. So thank you for joining us. Make yourself comfortable. I'm going to pray us in. We're going to get started, and you will be blessed this evening. Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. We honor you this evening. We thank you for this word that comes forth from you, and we ask that you anoint it in a special way tonight, that it blesses your people mightily in their walk in you. So thank you, Lord, for this word. We give you honor and glory for that word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any assignment against this word that would attempt to blunt it, distract it, or to make it not have the effect that God would want it to have, that it will land where God wants it to land and bless his people mightily. We thank you, Lord, for that. We give you all the honor and all the glory this evening in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, honey. We are in a series. This is actually our ninth week called Putting the Devil Under Your Feet. And during this study, we have already mentioned five areas where Satan has a legal right to bring curses to us or to hold curses in place in our lives. We also talked about a whole bunch of other stuff along the way in these last 8 weeks. And if you missed any of those meetings and you want to catch up with where we are, and although each one will stand on its own, you can get from our website, www.freedomswayministries.com. Those messages are on there. Or you can text me directly and ask for a link to any and all of them. And that number is 904-993-2876. So let's get on with it. Hallelujah. Last week, we looked at door points that may have resulted in certain attitudes or behaviors in our lives that are ungodly. These are sins that follow when we agree with an evil spirit, when we allow it to express its nature through us. So I want to answer, Phil and I want to answer, those of you who have asked specifically about generational sins and iniquities. That is going to be the primary focus of our message tonight. And hopefully, those who are affected by the open door of generational iniquities, you will have a better understanding of what's happening to you and how to combat the assignment of hell effectively. Hallelujah. Many of you are aware of generational sin. So this might seem to be an elementary study, information you have already heard before. You're going to hear it in a new way. And if you hang in, you're going to be surprised at what the Lord will reveal to you personally. As we go along, the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind as situations, circumstances, family secrets, all kinds of stuff. You need to make yourself a note so that you can deal with whatever the Lord is showing you. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, when you think you know something, you don't know anything as you ought to know it. So if you remain teachable, you'll gain great insights and understanding.
Amen. Now, there are churches and denominations that teach generational sins are no longer in effect. And they use the argument that Jesus already took all the curses and also bring up scriptures in Ezekiel chapter 18. Those scriptures say that the fathers don't die for the sins of their sons, and the sins don't die for the sons don't die for the sins of their fathers. Careful study of this chapter will reveal that the point being made here is a son need not continue in the sins of his father, but rather can choose life by turning away in repentance and forgiveness of his ancestors and restoring the principles of God into the family line. It also means that in the world, the son who commits a crime is the one tried and convicted, not the father, and vice versa. So let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about generational iniquities. And if we have time, we will also go through some curses that are clearly stated in the Word. When we know what causes curses, then we can certainly avoid them. And as usual, we will also pray a prayer of repentance and forgiveness afterwards, so expect to gain more freedom tonight.
Amen.
God is faithful to judge the evil that has caused these curses in our lives when we are faithful to recognize them and break our agreement with them, known or unknown. The truth of generational curses is established in Exodus as well as other places in the Bible.
Yes, and before I read that, the Holy Spirit reminded me, we answered the arguments from scriptures in Ezekiel. But we didn't say anything about that Jesus took all the curses. That is true. He is our curse bearer. But Jesus did not come down off the cross and go smear his blood on everybody. We have to go there.
Yeah.
We have to go there. We have to appropriate what he did. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 6. God is speaking, by the way. I know I don't sound like him, but this is him. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now that word hate is not what you're thinking. It actually means reject. It's not, you know, because nobody's going to say they hate God. But when we worship something else, we are rejecting him.
Yeah.
Exodus 34:7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Jeremiah 32:18. You show loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. And one more scripture establishing the generational curses. Lamentations 5:7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities.
Wow. These verses clearly tell us that if we have an ancestor who rejected God, who refused to follow the truth of the Word of God, who trusted in something other than God, then we can expect to be under a generational curse until the curse is given to Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, the Lord Jesus became a curse for us that we don't have to carry curses. However, he didn't come down from the cross, as Vicki said, and go through the crowd, smearing his blood on everyone and taking their curses from them. We have to go to him with the curse. This isn't possible if we don't own it first. You cannot give away what you do not hold in your possession.
That's a very valuable statement.
Amen. In terms of a generational iniquity, what you are holding is the result of the curse, not the sin itself, which belongs to the one who sinned.
Wow.
That person is not around to take responsibility for the sin, but someone has to. A curse will follow a family, usually bringing with it a familiar spirit as a guide to the person afflicted until the spirit is recognized, arrested, and banned from operating. Then it can be exiled back to hell. This is accomplished through repentance and forgiveness and will often include what is called standing in the gap. And Moses did this in Numbers chapter 14. And I'm going to read chapter 14 in Numbers 18 to 20. The Lord is suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of your mercy. And as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word.
Wow. I have pardoned according to your word, even though the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. Those iniquities run through the families until someone takes responsibility. Now, the context of what Phil just read is this. The Israelites arrived at the land of promise after leaving Egypt, and yet they refused to go in and possess the land as God told them to. They were afraid of the giants. When Joshua and Caleb advised them not to rebel against God, they became offended, and they actually were, their desire was to stone Joshua and Caleb. And for those who may still not understand what Moses did and what standing in the gap is, we're going to do our best to explain that. The gap is an actual place. It is a broken down hedge. It's a broken place in the spirit. It's a breach between a person or a people group and God. It's God's wish. It is the desire of his heart that someone volunteer to stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of those who are going astray, or on behalf of those who are being led astray and are out from under his protection. He wants all to be saved. He doesn't want any to perish. So God seeks a person who will dare to go to that place, the gap, and stand between the living and the dead to go to war in the spirit realm for others. Hallelujah. Scripture proof.
Ezekiel 22:23-31. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, You are the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them.
So God basically, he's listing the transgressions against him, right?
Amen. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God.
Wow. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I sought for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap that I should not destroy. Because most people have been hurt in the church sometime over these years. I just want to take this opportunity to stand in the gap for all of you who have been hurt, and bring healing and wholeness back into your lives. Father, you said you were looking for a man to stand in the gap and say, Restore. And I step up to that place, to that call right now, on behalf of all these people in your body who have been emotionally wounded in any way, by leaders in the church, by religious people who claim to know you, and yet they don't love people the way that you love. On behalf of your people, Lord, I stand in the gap and I forgive those in the body of Christ who harm them. And I ask these people on the line right now to forgive. Forgive me as I stand in that place and take responsibility for the offenses, the transgressions of those who claimed to represent God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for honoring this prayer. Thank you for freeing your people from trauma, fear, rejection, and deep wounding of the spirit. Release them, Lord God, from bondage to unmet needs and hurts of the past, and propel them into the future that you have for them. A future filled with peace and prosperity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Y'all take a breath out there. Take a breath. A lot of you may experience more clarity of mind, more peace in your heart as a result of what just happened. The Lord doesn't want you to be separated from His church, from the fellowship of like believers, or from Him. The Lord doesn't want that separation. Know that those who harmed you are now released into the hand of God, who will right all the wrongs that may have been perpetrated against you or against others in the body of Christ. Some of you may even realize a physical healing in your bodies. Don't question it. Just receive what the Lord is doing.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I receive. Okay, so let's get back to the subject at hand.
Yeah, sorry, that's okay.
How can we recognize a generational curse? A common way, and one known in the medical field, is family history. What they don't know is the proper terminology. They are identifying generational curses, not taking a medical history when they ask their questions, such as how long did your parents live? What did they die from? Any sisters or brothers? What about aunts and uncles? Any history of diabetes, cancer, heart disease, arthritis, miscarriages or stillbirths, infertility problems, breathing problems, mental illness? Then when they have caused you to speak or declare in writing these curses, they add to them by proceeding to kill you with their words if you allow it.
That's the truth.
By telling you what you can look for in the way of life expectancy. They tell you what diseases you are predisposed to getting. Sometimes they will even attempt, and perhaps successfully, to put you on a regimen of medications for things you don't even have, simply because it's in your family line and they figure you're next. I know this sounds a little silly, but we know many people who have actually had surgeries because of what the doctor said was in the family line that they weren't even, you know, that weren't even present in their body. And this can put you in a downward spiral of dependency on drugs and can cause you to doubt God and His word.
Yep.
And the bottom line that is, sickness is a curse. And if there is a history in your family of certain sicknesses, that is a clear indicator of a generational curse. But this is not the only indicator. Sometimes there may be a generational curse of infirmity that is not disease specific. People in your family are just sick frequently or tired or weak, or maybe they die early, or there seems to be a lot of accident proneness or whatever. And these are also indicators of generational curses.
Wow. Hallelujah. I know the wheels are turning in your brain out there. You know, there are other predispositions as well. Alcoholism, anger, abusive behaviors, depression, bitterness, criticism, judgment of self and others, suicide, bipolar diseases, and any number of other sinful attitudes and actions that are prevalent in a family. These can all indicate a generational curse at work. Have you ever said, or maybe you've heard someone say, well, I got that from my father. I got that, honestly. My mother did the same thing. My dad had a quick temper, and so do I. You know, please understand, everything we get from our parents or grandparents, it's not bad. God is a generational God, and he works in the generations. There are generational blessings as well as generational curses. As we read in Exodus 20, God visits the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations. Now, scholars say a generation is thought to be 40 years. So that would be up to 160 years. But the passage goes on to say in Exodus 20, God shows mercy to thousands of generations of the righteous. That is a definite generational blessing.
So think of a man who was born blind. The account is in John 9. The people ask Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents? This tells us that the Jews knew there was a connection between sin and sickness, and they also recognized generational iniquities. So let's consider this passage, because it's many times misinterpreted to accuse God of making the man blind just so he could show off by healing him. We believe the truth is found in this passage in Exodus. They had only asked about two generations, the man and his parents. Well, what about the grandparents or great-grandparents? I can tell you, I don't know what my ancestors were doing 160 years ago. Most people don't even know who their great-grandparents were. So consider, it wasn't the sin of the man or his parents, but it was their righteousness that made the healing possible. Righteousness of the blind man positioned him to receive the mercy of God.
That is powerful. It wasn't the sin, his sin or his parents' sin, that caused him to be born blind, but it was their righteousness that created the atmosphere for healing. In the New Testament, Paul called Timothy to remembrance of a generational blessing that he enjoyed in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. Unfeigned faith, true faith, not fake it till you make it faith, was already working in Timothy as a generational blessing. You know, personally, I have to thank God for a believing mother and a believing grandmother. Because even though I wasn't raised in church, my dad was not a churchgoer, and in spite of the religiosity of my mother's family that kept me away from God for a long time, I've always had peace about my future, always. I've been so stable in that. I have held in my heart this same unfeigned faith that caused me to know in the depth of my being, even before I was truly saved, before I knew Jesus. I knew that whatever happened, it would be okay. It's an inner knowing. And it's not anything I can take credit for. I didn't earn it. I didn't work it up. I didn't spend hours studying to gain it. It's a tangible example of God working through the generations. In his mercy, he honored the faith of my grandmother by visiting me with confidence that I'm taken care of. Now, I have to
qualify this. I was not totally free from generational curses. Please understand, I received both generational blessings and generational curses, and the rest of us do too.
When we choose to observe the lying vanities of generational curses, we give Satan license to keep those curses in place in our lives, according to the Word. Claiming a bad report or diagnosis as my disease, speaking it out and declaring it to be a part of you, serves to invite that sinful thing and the spirit behind it to settle in. Every time you say something like my arthritis or my allergies or my cancer, my diabetes or my heart disease or my whatever, you take possession of the thing and are essentially petting your demons.
Ouch.
When we pay attention to a generational curse, receiving it as truth, we forsake the mercy that God pours out in blessings. In Jonah 2:8, They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When God is busy showering blessings from heaven, I don't want to put up an umbrella and send them away from me. Watching our words is vital in receiving truth that transcends reality. It may be a reality that the disease or condition exists in your body, but it is not the truth, and it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to hell and needs to be sent back there as quickly as possible. Stop calling it yours simply because some doctor told you that you have it. Don't whine or cry about it, but instead declare you are overcoming it. Claim your victory, not your defeat. Don't give the devil fuel for the misery he doles out. Don't use it as a crutch for sympathy, because Jesus has never been to anybody's pity party. And he's not about to start with yours. I've invited him to a few. Use the power of life that is in your tongue and not the power of death. Bless your body with health and healing. Praise the Lord for being Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer, and repent. Gaining freedom is a result of repentance. Staying free is a result of obedience. Forgiving your ancestors who opened the door, and forgive yourself for receiving the lie. Mm-hmm. Find the scripture that speaks truth into your heart and speak it out frequently.
Amen. Amen. I did this. It kept me alive for months and months and months. And this is my personal favorite. It combines a couple of different scriptures. God, this is what I declare, and I declare it even today. God is my portion and the strength of my heart. The Lord is the strength of my life. These are words of life that bring life. God's word will not return to him void. It will accomplish its purpose and bring its blessings. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In Psalm 27:1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Before we close out in prayer tonight, we want to address at least one specific generational curse that many people have a hard time dealing with, and that's the curse of illegitimate birth. This is something the person affected had absolutely nothing to do with in terms of his or her own willing participation. However, because of the nature of the generational curse and generational curses in general, this same person might find himself engaging in behaviors that could result in the continuation of the curse of the bastard, throughout the generations. Now, it is true that most of us do end up participating with generational sins. And when we do, we hold that curse in place for another generation. This goes on until someone stands in the gap, repents, forgives, and breaks that generational curse. Remember, once again, somebody has to take responsibility for the curse. We have to own it to disown it. You can't give Jesus something that you don't have in your possession.
Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. The curse of illegitimate birth, the bastard's curse, has many indicators. Many people who cannot seem to fit in a church or seem to be invisible to others are likely under this curse. Those who have had a hard time making friends in churches are under this curse. The actual Hebrew definition of bastard is one who is born to a Jewish man and a heathen woman, which means they were not married. This is because any marriage outside the nation of Israel was not recognized as legitimate. Now, back in the day when this curse was established, lots of these children grew up in the family, but they were not received as part of the family. They had no inheritance, no name, and no connection to any of the tribes. The Roman Catholic Church also carries this curse because of the spiritual implications of idolatry, which is spiritual adultery. Another reason this curse is evident in the Roman Catholic Church is because so many of the priests fathered illegitimate children throughout the centuries. If you were conceived out of wedlock or had an ancestor who was, the curse of illegitimate birth is not something you had anything to do with. But this...
That curse is not broken. You're going to have it anyway.
But is... If... curse is not broken, you can bet your children or your grandchildren will engage in behaviors that will keep that curse in the family.
That's true. We are going to pray about that in a little bit. But, you know, another of these specific generational curses is that of people who are born from incestuous unions. The nations of the Moabites and the Ammonites were people who were cursed. Why is that? Likely, it's because of the circumstances of their conception. Genesis 19, verse 30-38. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave. He and his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old. There is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day.
Here is where most people are going to listen to and agree with the voice that says, that's not fair. It's not my fault my parents weren't married. It's not my fault my father is really my mother's brother. I didn't have any incestuous affairs. I didn't have any illegitimate children. Why should I suffer? Why should my children suffer? Again, just because you didn't engage in the destructive behavior that holds the curse in place doesn't mean the curse and the familiar spirit behind it went away. Four generations is about 160 years. And without someone standing in the gap and repenting and taking responsibility, I believe it could take that many years for that spirit to give up its assignment, to cause unrighteousness in the family and leave on its own. But when we choose to do something righteous instead of simply not doing something unrighteous, the curse can be broken. We are called to repent for the sin, bring judgment on the evil spirit behind the sin, generational and present, break the curse and give it to Jesus for disposal. In so doing, we bring justice to ourselves and on our family line. So what if it's not your fault? When you know the truth, it becomes your responsibility to act on the truth, no matter whether you think it's fair or not. If you believe you have a right to be angry or offended at God or other people because you live under a curse that you had nothing to do with, it's not going to change anything except to open you up to some other curse. Probably a curse of rebellion or pride or disobedience, and then you get to be the one who is the source of a generational curse. Ouch. Next week, we will be explaining other specific actions named in the Bible that bring about curses in the area of sexuality and bring deliverance from them. It isn't a subject talked about in church, but many people are affected by these curses. If you can't seem to have a healthy sexual relationship with your spouse, or have problems in the reproductive area of your body, or have been sexually abused, don't miss it.
Amen.
If you'd like to have more knowledge to help others in this area, don't miss it. For now, we want to release freedom through what we've learned already this evening. So let's pray.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is my favorite part. We pray out loud. The reason we pray out loud, as most of you know, is because angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God when they know and they hear that you agree with them. They are released to minister and to perform those words. If they do not hear that, if you're speaking something opposed to God, there are many demons out there listening to perform that word as well. So we want the demons to know they got to go, and we want the angels to be released to help us. So pray with me. Father God.
Father God.
I come before you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
For you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for giving me insight and understanding about generational iniquities.
Thank you for giving me insight and understanding about generational iniquities.
And how I can free myself from them.
I can free myself from them.
Through standing in the gap.
Standing in the gap.
With your blessing and permission, Lord.
Your blessing. Permission.
I do that right now.
Do that right now.
As I forgive and release my mother, father, grandparents.
As I forgive and release my mother, father, grandparents.
And all other ancestors for opening the door.
Ancestors for opening the door.
For the devil to afflict and affect me or my children.
Devil to afflict and affect me or my children.
I also forgive those in the church who hurt me.
So forgive those in the church who hurt me.
I release all these people from responsibility for any curse that attached itself to me.
For any curse attached itself to me.
I take those curses and give them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Take those curses and give them to Jesus Christ.
He is my curse bearer.
He is my curse bearer.
I break agreement with trauma.
Break agreement with trauma.
Fear.
Fear.
Rejection.
Rejection.
And deep wounding of the spirit.
Wounding of the spirit.
From church hurt. I recognize that there are those in my family line.
I recognize that there are those in my family line.
Who rejected you, God. Who went their own way. Forsaking your love and guidance.
Forsaking your love and guidance.
Forgive them, Lord.
Forgive them.
And take the curses of rebellion and disobedience from my family.
Take the curses of rebellion and disobedience from my family.
I break agreement with these things.
I
recognize there are those in my family who were church hurt.
I recognize that there are those in my family who were church hurt.
Who took offense because of emotional wounds.
Took offense because of emotional wounds.
Lord, we forgive them and we ask you to forgive us.
We forgive them and ask you to forgive us.
For turning away from fellowship in your body.
Turning away from fellowship in your body.
And with you. We break agreement with spirits of offense.
Break agreement with spirits of offense.
Pride and bitterness.
Pride and bitterness.
We break agreement with generational iniquities.
Break agreement with generational iniquities.
That have resulted in illness or infirmity.
Illness or infirmity.
Physical or mental.
Physical or mental.
Particularly fatigue.
Particularly fatigue.
Weakness.
Weakness.
Blindness.
Blindness.
Deafness.
Deafness.
Cancer.
Cancer.
Diabetes, allergies,
blood diseases,
neurological issues,
arthritis,
miscarriage, barrenness,
breathing problems,
heart disease,
bipolar
disease,
schizophrenia,
psychosis, paranoia, chemical imbalances, alcoholism, anger, abusive behaviors, depression, criticism, judgment, fears of death, murder, and suicide. Help me, Father, to speak your word and not my situation. Help me to bless my body. With health and healing. I don't know what sins my ancestors committed, Lord.
I don't know what sins my ancestors committed.
But I know your blood, Jesus, is all powerful.
I do know that your blood, Jesus, is all powerful.
It is effective to bring restoration.
Effective to bring restoration.
And I know your Holy Spirit is faithful and just.
And your Holy Spirit is faithful and just.
To reveal to me.
Reveal to me.
What I need to deal with.
To deal.
And whom I need to forgive.
Yes.
Forgive me for participating with any of these curses.
Forgive me for participating with any of these curses.
And those that are unnamed also.
Those that are unnamed also.
I forgive all my ancestors and myself.
Forgive all my ancestors and myself.
For any pregnancy created out of wedlock.
Pregnancy created out of wedlock.
And I break all agreement with fornication.
Fornication.
Adultery.
Free.
Sexual immorality. And impurity. I break the curse of the bastard.
Curse of the bastard.
And the curse of the vagabond.
But.
I receive your forgiveness, Lord. And I forgive myself.
Give myself.
Keep my focus on the good and not the evil.
My focus on good, not the evil.
Help me recognize and live.
Help me recognize and live.
In generational blessings that I've been given.
Generational blessings that I've been given.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit and sever those generational cords of iniquity, evil soul ties that have held any of that in place in your life, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I speak to every spirit of trauma, fear, rejection, and deep wounding from church hurt. I speak to spirits of offense, pride, and bitterness from church hurt. And I cast you out. I send you to the pit. I cast out rebellion, disobedience. Get up, get out, and go. Loose these people. They have broken agreement with you. You cannot stay. In the name of Jesus Christ, I send you into the consuming fire of God. I break agreement with every spirit and spirit guide of illness and infirmity, physical or mental. I cast out every spirit behind these things, every spirit of these things by name. I send you all to the pit, that burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. Every symptom of these things, you must go. I speak to fatigue, weakness, blindness, deafness, cancer, diabetes, allergies, blood diseases, neurological issues, arthritis, miscarriage, barrenness, other reproductive problems, breathing problems, heart disease, bipolar, schizophrenia, psychosis, paranoia, chemical imbalances. I speak to alcoholism, anger, abusive behaviors, depression, criticism, judgment, fears of death, murder, and suicide, fears of fornication, adultery, and all sexual immorality and impurity. I speak to the curse of the bastard and the curse of the vagabond. I cast all of you out from every cell in their bodies, every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart. Get up, get out, and go. I cancel cell memories of all these things now. Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. I love my job. Every time I take people through deliverance, I get some more. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Wash through us. Wash through us all right now, Lord God, with your river of living water. You're refreshing from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with life, health, peace, prosperity, love, joy, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and self-control. Fill us, Lord, with every fruit of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, fill us up, Lord. Fill us up. I take the acts of the Holy Spirit to any root of deep emotional wound, generational or present, and I pull that pain out of you in Jesus' name. I pull it up and I send it into the consuming fire of God. All father wounds, all mother wounds. In Jesus' name, be made whole.
Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit healing hearts, restoring minds, touching our physical bodies, putting to flight every unclean thing. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, enjoy the presence of the Lord. If you have a comment or a question and you would like to be heard, you must push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your phone back into the conference line. Questions or comments before we close? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Wow, still basking right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for, thank you for the word tonight. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, I had a lot of garbage too that came through my family and stuff too, Dan. Need a lot of that praying to get that mess off of me too, Dan. Thank you, brother and sister.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We had a Freemason too, and
forget
my family
oh,
also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to do that again soon.
Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother and sister.
Amen. Thank you, Mitch.
Yeah. God bless.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yay.
Yeah, this was thank you. We needed to clear the way, new beginnings, new hopes, new generations. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that. It's definitely teaching. And prayers.
Amen.
And
God
loosening.
Bless you.
And loosening. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, sir. All righty then. Anybody else have something before we close tonight? If not,
hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Charles. Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Speak up if you would. But I hear you now.
Okay. I just wanted to pray for you too, Father. I come to you in the name above every name, that is Jesus, our Messiah, and I thank you for Phil and Vicky. I thank you for the word that you have entrusted with them. And I ask you, God, that as they have emptied themselves today sacrificially and unselfishly, sacrificing their own time and their own sleep, their own rest, Lord, they are tired. And I ask you that you will exponentially refill them, spirit, soul, and body, bring healing to their bones, and give them rest tonight and just rejuvenate them and refill them as a result of all that has been given out and expended energy-wise in the spirit and in their bodies and in their minds, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
That's my brother. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the invite. That's excellent.
Anytime, brother. Anytime. Hallelujah. Does there anybody else have a comment or a question before we close the meeting? For anybody new on the line, we close with the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and in English. So, Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to seal it in our hearts, Lord. Strengthen us in our walk, Lord, that we can glorify you in all that we say and do. We give you honor for this word. We give you honor that it will not return void. It will bear fruit for your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, the people of God, in Numbers, the sixth chapter, he blessed them with the Aaronic, it's called the Aaronic benediction. I'm going to do that in Hebrew and in English. So God bless you as you receive. Unless my brother would like to do it. Hallelujah.
Well,
you better go ahead. Well, don't put him on the spot.
All right. I don't mind. I can do it all the time.
All right. Well, do it for us, brother.
Sorry. I'm going to do it in Hebrew and then I'll do it in English.
All right.
Huh?
Go.
You there?
Yivarechecha Yahweh, v'yishmerecha.
May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Ya'er Yahweh panah be'lecha b'funecha.
May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
Yisa Yahweh panah be'lecha v'yaseim lecha shalom.
May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of our Prince of Peace, Jesus our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. That we honor you tonight, Lord. We give you all the honor and the glory. We worship you from the bottom of our heart, Father. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that you're encamping your angels around your people this week, giving them a God-filled, glorious week with success, prosperity, peace, and protection, Lord, and all that they say and do. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be back here in the morning, 7:15 for the King's Table. This message will be presented by Gretchen on Friday night at 8:30 as the Holy Spirit leads. So join us again. God bless you all. Have a great night and a wonderful week. Talk to you tomorrow.
Back at you.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Good night, brother and sister.
Good night,
everybody.
Night.